John chapter 14. The sermon tonight is entitled Comfort from the Wrong Places. Comfort from the Wrong Places. Once you found John 14, why don't you stand with me? John 14. We're going to read a couple of passages from John 14, then we'll remain standing. We'll read another from another book in the Bible. John chapter 14, look at verse number 15. John 14, verse 15, it says this: If you love me, keep my commandments. Now I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you, forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, drop down to verse 25, John 14, 25, and I'll read. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, I want us to turn into the Old Testament to the book of Job. Job chapter number 16. We're going to read three verses from Job 16. Job 16. Once you find Psalms or Proverbs, just turn back a book or two and you'll find Job. Job chapter 16, starting with verse number 1. And again, I'll read out loud and you can follow along silently. Job 16, 1, it says this: Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Shall vain words have an end, or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? Now, let's pray. Father, help us tonight to be challenged, reminded, and Father, directed in regard to this thing of comfort. Bless us with thy presence. Help someone this evening with the truth of thy word. Holy Spirit of God, do a work in this place this night, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Again, the sermon is called Comfort from the Wrong Places. Job was a great man. He was married. He had 10 children. He was very wealthy. Historically, Job is known as the man that suffered like no other man. Satan wanted to test Job. And God said, okay, if you want to test Job, I'll let you. Do what you want to Job, but you can't kill him. Now, I'll tell you what, I'd rather God not mention that to Satan about me. I don't want to go through those sort of things. Oh, and Satan did take advantage of this window of opportunity. Satan brought the enemy, and they stole all of Job's oxen and his donkeys, and then they killed all the servants that were attending to them. Fire came and burned up all of his sheep and all the servants that were attending to them. Yet another enemy came to Job, and they stole his camels and killed the servants that were attending to them. A great wind, like a tornado or a hurricane, came where all of his kids were. They were all in the same house, and the house collapsed, and all 10 of his children died. Satan then brought boils to Job. And the Bible uses the word sore boils, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. You find Job at one point sitting in hot ashes, scraping himself with pieces of broken pottery, trying to alleviate the pain that he was in from those boils. At one point, Job's wife turns to him and says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Now, Job went through a series of very dramatic and difficult events. Job had faced the loss of virtually everything, and his spirit was down a bit. He was facing a pretty heavy burden, and he needed help, and he needed some encouragement, and he faced some despair. Maybe he had some depression, and he was down. And he had three so-called friends. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. They sound like ornery friends. So they decided they were going to talk to him and advise him. They did not help his situation at all. Matter of fact, after these three friends at length talked to Job as he was facing the burden of a lifetime, let me read to you again what is said. In Job 16:1 it says, "Then Job answered and said, 'I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all.'" Now, just so you know, you say, where was Job from? He is from North Carolina. You said, prove it. It said right there, miserable comforters are ye all. Right there. Tell me if that's not Southern slang right there, y'all. But what a thing to have to say. He said, these three friends, miserable comforters. Miserable comforters. Job had received some attempted comfort. Well, it wasn't from the right place. I think tonight, here in this building, there are some of you, you've faced some devastating occurrences in your life. Maybe you've lost something that you love, or you're hurting. Maybe you're emotionally bruised, or you're lonely. Or maybe you struggle with some depression or some despair. You're down. Life has thrown you a curveball. A good dream turned into a bad nightmare. Pain is a daily occurrence. And your heart's broken. And you know, both young and old alike face times when our spirits get weighed down and we face something emotionally that's heavy. Teenagers face difficult times in life. Young adults, children, married people, single people, senior citizens, young and old Christians alike. To those of you that are young Christians, you say, I just can't wait, preacher, until I won't face difficulties that get me down. I have to tell you, you never grow past the attacks of the devil when he tries to get your spirit. Now, you do learn how to handle it, and you learn how to maybe handle it a little quicker than what you did when you were a younger Christian. But the devil doesn't ease up on any of us. It will be a wonderful day when we all get to heaven and we won't have to deal with some of the pressures of this life and the devil. But we're going to have to face them. Life becomes difficult. Sometimes the difficulties of life are self-inflicted. Sometimes they're just what we would call life-inflicted. Sometimes it's our sin. Sometimes it's the sin of a family member. Sometimes it's the sin of a friend or maybe a foe. Or maybe you're just a victim in a situation that's got you down. Maybe it's not even sin that brought you low, but you just need comfort. Can I recommend something to you tonight? And may I recommend something to you from now on? When you need comfort, don't turn to the wrong comforters. There are wrong comforters in life. You say, well, and Job summed it up quite well when he said, miserable comforters are ye all. Now, let me explain. When we turn to the wrong comforter, it may help us a little at first. We convince ourselves this is helping. But in long term, the wrong comforters bring worse results. We look for a quick fix to take a little pressure off, but if we're not careful, we will go into a deeper mess and maybe deeper emotional trauma because we picked the miserable comforters. Now let me start out and get us started in the right direction. First of all, let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit is the right comforter. He's the right comforter. Let me read to you again the verses that we looked at earlier. In John 14, verse 15 through 18, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." Now, he even says there toward the end, he says, "I will not leave you comfortless." Here, Jesus was getting ready to go to heaven, and he turned to the disciples, and he said, "Don't you worry, I will not leave you comfortless. The Holy Spirit's going to be given to comfort you. In verse 25 of John 14, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Said, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Remember, the disciples were with Jesus. He was about to be crucified. He was then going to leave them after the crucifixion and go to heaven. And they were a little shaken about all of this. And he turns to them to calm them down when they were hurting, when they were scared, when they were confused, maybe even a little despair and depression. And he said, "I'm not going to leave you comfortless. The Holy Spirit of God is going to be there to comfort you." He said that Holy Spirit's going to provide you with peace. Hey, and not man's peace. I hope you all realize that God is not up in heaven all panicked about what's going on in life. He's not panicked. God has peace. And he is a provider of peace for you and for me. See, at salvation, the Bible teaches when you got saved, you asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you. The person that came into your heart was actually Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed." The day that you got saved, the Spirit of God moved in, and he is sealed there, the Bible says, into the day of redemption. That's when we get to go to heaven. Now, you have, living within you, the right comforter. The comfort that we seek is not found without, it is found within for the Christian. I have to tell you, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't have that comfort. You don't have that comfort. Now, I thank God for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I have somebody that can help me from the inside out. And I thank God for that. And I often think of the world. I often think of the people in the world that do not have the Holy Spirit to calm them down, to bring them some peace. I feel bad for them. Because when they go through some of the same things that you and I go through, we have someone inside us that can bring some peace to us, that can make some sense, to bring some hope in the midst of the storm. They don't have that. And it's no wonder a bunch of lost people turn to the wrong comforters. Because they panic. They don't have the Holy Spirit. Now you and I as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit. And you know, I want to help you. I'll help you with whatever you struggle with. I want to help you with that struggle, but I have to tell you something. There is one that is a far greater comforter than the pastor, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. And he can help you. Hey, if you ever make a call and the preacher can't be found, and he might be out fishing, let me tell you something. You'll never call on the Holy Spirit and him not be available. He'll always be available. To the lost world, I feel bad for them because when tragedies come to them, they turn to some of the wackiest and the zaniest of ways to try to ease their burden and ease the pressure and to deal with their heartache. But you and I, as Christians, we ought to be smarter than that. But you know what happens? Christians, they also turn to the wrong comforters. They do some of the same things that the world does. Stay with me. The sermon is quite simple, and the more interested you look, the shorter the sermon will get. Some of you have your eyes open more now than I've seen in years. For instance, folks, booze is the wrong comforter. Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." Hey, you don't have to replace the Holy Spirit with liquor. You don't need Southern comfort. You need the Holy Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. I've been around liquor enough in my lifetime. You can't drink your problems away. You drink your problems into a greater mess and a greater depression. Wine and liquor will not heal your emotional bruises. Bud Dummer's not going to care for it. There are people everywhere. They will try to seek comfort. Instead of letting the Holy Spirit comfort them, they'll turn to liquor. You know what the alcoholics of our country need? And actually, the Bible calls them drunks. Do you know what they need? Salvation. Salvation. And then let salvation bring a Holy Spirit within them. And I don't know about all of you, but there's just something real sweet about having the Holy Spirit of God in you. And when nobody else can say what you need to comfort or to settle you down, the Spirit of God can do from the inside what no program can do for you from the outside. But watch out. We sometimes turn to wrong comfort. Get this. I think bad music for some people becomes their comforter, and a bad comforter. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. People often will turn to bad music for comfort. A teenager can have a fuss with mom and dad, go to their room and turn their rock and roll music on and think they're going to find comfort in that. You run to your music to please your flesh in an effort to find comfort for your spirit. And folks, let me tell you something. Bad music is the wrong comforter. You run to the bad music that talks about the sex and the drugs and the booze and the immorality. You run to that seeking a haven to comfort your flesh. And you know what ends up happening? You get all the rest of that junk that's being promoted in it. And in the long run, you're not bringing peace to your life. You're bringing more chaos to your life. Let me tell you something else. I think that good Christian music can work. The Holy Spirit can use it to comfort you. But I want you to realize something. Some of you turn to music all the time and never to the Holy Spirit. Now, again, I think good Christian music can help to comfort us. But some of you, you're taking a shortcut. You turn to good Christian music to comfort you. Why not get directly to the entire source, which is the Holy Spirit of God, and let Him comfort you? There are people in here, you never ask the Holy Spirit to comfort you, but you're constantly going to Christian music. Look, I'm not against Christian music. I'm for putting the Holy Spirit of God at the top of your counselor list. Put Him at the very top of your list of places to get comfort. You see, He said, you're miserable comforters. Booze is a miserable comforter. Bad music's a miserable comforter. Next, drugs. Drugs are miserable comforter. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, we ourselves are comforted of God. You know, people in the world do it a lot. To run and escape, they run to marijuana. They run to cocaine. They run to illegal drugs. You know what their need really is? You know what every drug addict needs? They need to get born again. And then Jesus Christ is sealed in the person of the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. And the pain that they're trying to resolve through the drugs could be resolved from the inside out by the person of the Holy Spirit of God. He is the great comforter. But they turn to the wrong comforter. But you know what's sad? I say the lost world, there are Christians that do it too. They're Christians? And well, they're not Christians. They're saved people. To be a Christian, you have to be like Jesus, to be Christ-like. And you know something? I'm not against all drugs. I'm not one of those people that think you ought to let yourself rot and die all in the name of not taking medicines. There are many medicines that can help you an awful, awful lot. But let me tell everybody here about your emotional needs. The first thing you turn to is the Holy Spirit of God. You don't replace the Holy Spirit's place in your life with any type of a drug. I remember a fella, his name's John, and I won't tell you his last name. I remember when John got saved and started coming to church, and boy, John was so, so excited. And he used to party. He used to party pretty hardy. I remember one day John came by my office and John said, preacher, let me tell you something. You talk about people going out and getting high and people going out and getting drunk. He said, I have had more fun and I have more thrill in my life on Jesus than any drug I've ever taken. Let me tell you all something. You should not turn to the weak and the worldly comforters. Folks, this world's not our home. We're just a passing through. And Jesus knew that we would face some difficulties, so he said, I will leave you a comforter. I'll throw in here, because nicotine is a drug, I'll put cigarettes. You know how many people that turn to cigarettes as their comforter? Something happens, and they're like this. Oh. And I'm thinking, you need the Holy Spirit. And they're thinking, no, I need a Marlboro. Have you ever seen someone with a cigarette in their mouth and it's just shaking? I'm thinking, that's the most brilliant thing you've done. Set yourself on fire while you're shook up. If God would have wanted you to smoke, he would have put a smokestack on top of your head. And the only thing that camels do for you is make your breath smell like you've been kissing a camel. Now, but have we all seen it? Have you seen someone that turned to that cigarette for comfort? Think about it. I need comfort. Where's my cigarettes? What a terrible little life. Turning to a cigarette? I will get letters from this sermon from someone that listens to it on the internet. You can just be sure of it. But that's a miserable comforter. I am so glad I've got a bigger comforter than that. I'm so glad that I've got a bigger comforter than marijuana, or I've got a bigger comforter than cigarettes, and I've got a bigger comforter than booze or bad music. Let me give you something else. Money, to some people, is their comforter. Now, 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. There are some people in life, they just look at money for their satisfaction. Did you know that money can't take the place of the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you know people can get shook up, and you know what? They almost joke about it. They're going to go out and shop it off. You know how many people are going through a tough time and they go out and blow money? They think that's going to get them a thrill. No, let me tell you what it'll do. It'll get you into greater depression, because when all the bills roll in and you realize you can't make your mortgage payment or your car insurance payment, you realize that you wasted that money trying to ward off the depression. Spending money is a miserable comforter. Oh, and I'm not against, when people go through a rough time, doing something nice for someone or being good to someone. I think that just makes sense. But I'm talking about it's virtually an addictive behavior for some people. They going through a tough time, they just go spend and spend and spend and spending. Hey, look, you listen, a $20 bill cannot take the place of the Holy Spirit of God. You say, if I could just get a little more, I would be comforted in life. You'll be seeking and seeking and seeking. Covetousness has never caused someone to end up feeling better in the long run. You hear about the businessman that was on a boat and they were shipwrecked? They were all standing on shore, and everybody on shore was panicked. I mean, they were fretting and marching up and down and pacing. And this businessman was just standing there as calm as he could be. And a lady said, sir, how in the world is it that you are so calm? We are stranded on this island. They're never going to find us. And the man said, ma'am, you don't understand. I'm a businessman. I'm worth millions of dollars. She said, well, what does that have to do with it? She said, I go to a Baptist church, and I am the best tither in my church, and I will guarantee you, my pastor will find me. Listen to me. Money is not to take the place of the Holy Spirit of God. Folks, we have living within us what we need. Take advantage of it. Let him comfort you. Turn to him. Talk to him. Tell him what you need. Boy, we turn to cigarettes, and we turn to music, and we turn to so many things. Let me tell you this. Everybody here that's married, and those of you, you young people, they're not married yet, listen to me very carefully. When you go through a difficult time in your marriage, be careful not to turn to the wrong comforters. You know what can happen? a husband is having a hard time with his wife, if he's not careful, he'll turn to another woman to be comforted because he's having a hard time with his wife. Time and time again, that'll cause you trouble. It'll cause you trouble. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:4 that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Oh, a man will say, I can't seem to talk to my wife. So he turns to another woman, they talk, and then they end up doing wrong together. Or vice versa. A woman struggles with her husband. He ignores her, or he works all the time, or he's mean and he's rough. And so she turns to someone as a comforter. Oh, but the devil gets into that thing. And before long, a husband or wife that turn outside their marriage to get comfort, you know what happens? It's not as comforting in the end as what you thought it would be. Oh, but do you see how the devil works? We turn to comforters that are the wrong comforters. Let me give you a couple more and we'll be done. Now, I don't know how long it will take for these couple more. For instance, did you know that sleep or laziness is used by some people as their comforter? Proverbs 15:19 says, the way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns. Let me tell you something. You know, there are some people that will try to sleep away their depression. Now, I think sometimes somebody needs some rest. I mean, if you've faced a really rough thing, some of you that will counsel with me, if you've been up and you're facing a burden or a heartache, I'll say to you, you need to go to sleep. You need to take a nap. You need to get a good night's sleep so you can get your emotions under control. But let me tell you something. I've met person after person after person that they're virtually sleepaholics. And you want to know why? They face burdens and they face heartaches in life, and they don't want to be awake to face them. And instead of asking the Holy Spirit to help them while they're awake, to have an awake, victorious life, they think they can sleep or slumber their way out of the depression. Let me tell you what will happen to you. If you have any character at all, if you sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep and you don't do your work and you don't go to work, in the end you're going to end up losing your job, losing your money, losing opportunities. And while you were busy trying to sleep off your depression, opportunity is bypassing you. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to say, that was a miserable comforter. I went to it. It only solved the problem while my eyes were closed. Then I woke up and I had double the burden because I was busy sleeping when I should have been up solving some of the problem. Like getting drunk, you try to sleep your way through your burden. Like getting drunk, you'll wake up the next morning and face your problem, and it will be multiplied. I love what Job said. Miserable comforters. As Christians, let's not turn to the wrong sources for comfort. Hey, another one. There are miserable human comforters. Like Job. You know, everything I've mentioned here, basically I've mentioned liquor and cigarettes and drugs and music and sleep. But wait a minute, Job was talking about three so-called friends. So-called friends. So you all know, friends get you closer to God, not pull you away from God. Let me say it again. Friends, biblical, true blue friends, they want you to be closer to God, not further away from God. Boy, when these three guys got done with Job, Job says, you guys wouldn't even come around. You didn't help me. You're miserable. You're a miserable batch. Let me tell you, be careful turning to your weakest Christian friend when you need encouragement. They're liable to have you go out drinking and listen to bad music with them. You don't need, as a Christian, when you are down and you need comfort, I do hope you understand Dr. Phil's not the ticket. And Mari and Jerry Springer, this isn't going to cut it for you. You say, well, I watch that all the time. You're going to stay depressed. You have one within you. We call him the doctor, Dr. Holy Spirit. He'll take care of you. And whatever you do, when you're facing something, it's a bit overwhelming, and you're seeking escape, you're looking for comfort, you're looking for something to help ease the burden, whatever you do, don't turn to the druggies and the drunks. Don't turn to those kind of people. Don't turn, hey, married people, don't turn to other married people that have weak marriages. I get so tired of this. I've been doing marriage counseling for years and years and years. People can be, what would be the right word? Stupid. That's the right word. Stupid. My marriage is a mess, so I'm going to talk to this woman whose marriage is a mess. Or I'm going to get with this man whose marriage is a mess. Look, married people, when something's not going well in your marriage, don't turn to the flunkies of life to get your encouragement. Turn to somebody that's been married for 30 or 40 or 50 years that you know God is working in their life. What are you thinking? Look, when there's something that's not going right, don't turn to the people that don't have it going right to get your advice. Well, it's really quiet in here, but it is the truth. Watch out for miserable human comforters. Couple more. Did I say that a minute ago? Couple more? Just a couple more. And in closing. Oh, you're going to hate me for this one. Food. Food is good. Proverbs 23:21 says, "The glutton shall come to poverty." Now, every one of us know what I'm talking about. We can turn to food for comfort. Looking for satisfaction. But you know what it'll do? It'll end up hurting your health. People that struggle, they have health issues. There are things that they're just so... I could list a variety of health issues. And when we get down, if we turn to food, it makes our issue worse. Did you know the Holy Spirit can satisfy? I have down here, I was going to mention chocolate, but I'm just not going to. You ever want to just drown your sorrows? Yet, I wonder how many times I've heard and seen a woman with a half gallon of ice cream eating out of the tub. What's wrong? She's fussing with her husband, so she turns to ice cream. Now, ladies, that probably makes total sense to you. But that half gallon of ice cream's probably not going to solve your problem. And you're thinking, yes, it will. Yes, it will. I'm talking about we can turn to our French fries and our chips and then just you tear into the food. Now, we're all human and everybody's faced it, but can I tell you something? There are people that run to food and they want that food to become their counselor and comforter. But folks, and then you really do hurt yourself. You all do realize that somebody that got drunk one night, they wake up after they sought that comfort. They wake up with a hangover and in worse shape. And in many cases, when we turn to the food, what ends up happening is you pay for it. You pay for it thereafter. I've watched people that say, what do I care? And they just tear into the food and make themselves sick all over again. Now, I'll say one more. It's not a couple. Young people and teenagers, listen to your preacher for a second. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, abstain from fornication. Fornication is where you have a physical relationship. As a single person, you have a physical relationship with somebody that you're not married to. I'll tell you what happens. A young person can be angry with mom or angry with dad, and then they seek some type of closeness with the opposite sex, and they'll find themselves ending up fornicating, seeking comfort. And you young ladies especially listen to me, because ladies have an extra dose of emotion in their life. If you're not careful, when you're having a tough time, you can turn to a boy, and a boy will play right off of that emotion. And he'll know you're having a tough time, and he'll lure you in and seduce you while you're having a tough time, and you're just thinking, I just need somebody I can be close to. I just want somebody I can be close to. You teenage girls, you listen to me. If you are having a tough time and you say, I'm facing a burden or a heartache or a depression, let me tell you something. You get to mom or you get to dad or you get to some godly lady in the church and you let them help you. But don't you throw your body out there like a piece of meat because you're emotionally hurt, but you're looking for someone to be close to. You'll regret it. Many a girl has lost her virginity or her purity in a moment of depression when she reached out to a boy looking for a moment of comfort in life. Boys, may I say to you the very same thing. If you have a difficult time with mom and dad, you don't have to go out and become sexually active to try to figure out a way to get close to somebody. To everybody here, to all of us, we're all human. We all go through tough times. We all face things. But to everyone living within you is the comfort that you seek. Let's help one another with it. Let's let the true comforter do what he was created to do. Jesus, obviously, we know he was wise, but he was getting ready to leave the face of the earth, and he said to those disciples, he said, don't worry, fellas, I will not leave you comfortless. Why did he say that? Because he knew that all these things that I've mentioned tonight would be what the human race would turn to. Even Christians would turn to these comforters. You have within you what you seek. You say, but I need more than that. I'm going to be very honest. It doesn't get better than that. It doesn't get better than that. Now, I think we ought to help each other. But let's let the comforter do what the comforter was created to do. There's a song in our songbook, and I made a photocopy of this page out of the songbook. There's a song. It's called The Comforter Has Come. It says, oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound. The Comforter has come. God knew we would need immediate access to a very powerful source of comfort and something that wouldn't make the situation worse, but would make the situation better. You say, well, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to me. He probably does. He probably would say to me, she or he won't listen. I think he'll speak to you. I think sometimes we have our hearing aid turned down. Miserable comforters is what Job said of those things that made his situation worse, not better. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Everybody here, we're all guilty at one time or another of turning to the wrong comforters. Why don't you turn to the Holy Spirit first? Turn to the good comfort first. Who here tonight would say, God has spoken to my heart tonight, tucked in that sermon was something that's going to help me. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Lots of hands. We'll have a brief altar call if you need the altar. I want you to feel free to come. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Will you come? Don't turn to the wrong comforts. Don't turn to the wrong comforter. Turn to the Holy Spirit of God. Turn to the Word of God. Turn to the right kind of people of God. Folks, when you're down, don't turn to the backslidden people that you know. Turn to the folks that are experiencing revival. When your marriage is sour, don't turn to other people with sour marriages trying to figure it out. Go to someone that can help you. Hey, and let me tell you, everybody that's ever had sour moments in their marriage, learn from them and make it so you could be a good counselor and help other people's marriages someday. Look, teenager, when you're having a bad time, don't turn to some other teenager that's being rebellious at this time. The teenagers that are being immoral or listening to the filthy music or sneaking around behind mom and dad's back, good night. What are you thinking? When you need comfort, don't turn to the people that are in a mess to get that comfort. You don't need to turn to the world and the world's ways. Christians have an emotional stability that the world does not understand, nor does the world have access to. It is supernatural. It is a spirit that is a divine spirit created by Almighty God, sealed within the Christian to help us through the hard times. to help us carry our burdens and heartaches. The sermon is entitled, The Wrong or Comfort from the Wrong Places. From the Wrong Places. One more time through the song and we'll be on our way. Get your comfort from the one that was created to provide it. Thank you. And everybody remain standing. Thank you.